From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak from Psalm 27 and verse 4. And we're speaking this week of the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord. I've been saying that this is our final week of the year 2006. It's a time for looking back. It's a time for taking stock. And I trust that as you look back in this year, you can say with David, it has been my one desire and something I've sought after to dwell in the house of the Lord, to live a life of love for Christ. I trust that has been so. If it hasn't, this is a good time to take stock, to let the Word of God enter and indeed bring us to a place of genuine repentance and seeking after Christ. We'll be looking at Psalm 27 in a few minutes, but first we turn for our daily devotional Bible study to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the more excellent way. Paul says, the greatest of these is charity. Charity, or love, has rightly been called the queen of Christian graces. Paul states that the end of the commandment is charity. It's a grace that's essential to true godliness. Many believers could not discourse upon the deeper points of Christian doctrine or theology, but every Christian knows something of love. It's the chief of virtues. A person may be great in faith. He may be a notable philanthropist, or he may possess some outstanding wisdom and knowledge. He may be a gifted orator and even an expositor of God's word. But the absence of love is fatal to all these gifts and negates their effectiveness. Love is important, being the sum total of the law. The great commandments direct our love first to God and then to our neighbor. On these, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. There are many mistaken views as to what love is. It does not involve just giving to the poor, as in the modern meaning of the word charity. It does not mean that one can never disapprove of another's conduct or religious views. Sometimes the greatest expression of love is to point out error and to attempt to guide a person away from sin and into the arms of the Redeemer. There's also a strange love in some pulpits today that commends the wicked and condemns the righteous, a so-called love that protects the guilty and exposes the innocent, that thrives on ritual but has lost touch with reality, a so-called love that says it is well when the soul is in fact on the broad road to destruction. The Lord pronounces his woe upon such love. The first expression of the Christian's love should be to the one who first loved us as believers, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it should extend to our family members, those of the household of faith, and those who are still ungodly, whom we hope to reach with the gospel message. True Christian love is the root of all true Christian service. As Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. And our thought for the day comes from the great English missionary C.T. Studd. Suspicions subtract, faith adds, but love multiplies. It blesses twice, him who gives it and him who gets it.
Thy
This week, as we reach the last few days of the year 2006, you have your last opportunity to call us or write us to obtain your free copy of our Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2007. The Way of Life calendar is freely available to you. It will bring you a good scripture for each day, and it will remind you to pray for us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we invite you to write to us. We look forward to hearing from you. If you have written during the past weeks, months, or even in this last year, we'd like to thank you for your prayerful interest in the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. I trust that you will continue to take us to heart and pray for us, that the Lord will greatly use this ministry in the saving of souls and in the building up and blessing of the people of God. So remember then our 2007 Words of Life calendar from Let the Bible Speak, and you may have yours by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or you may email us at freepres@freepres.org, or you may call us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. 1-800-877-5827. As I say, we look forward to hearing from you. Now it's time to return to Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. We're speaking this week upon the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord. And we have noted that the child of God is gripped by one basic and overwhelming passion or desire. We noted yesterday that David had many, many things at the time of the writing of this psalm that he may have legitimately desired, ambitions that legitimately he may have sought to fulfill in his life. He was cut off from family and from friends. It was surely not wrong to desire to be back home in safety. He was being hunted as a criminal. It was surely not wrong to wish to be vindicated and set free from such an arduous life of affliction and trouble. But, he says, one thing have I desired. Amidst all the things that he missed most of all the ability to go to the house of God. I don't want to take too much time in this, but let me say in passing that there is a rebuke for many professing Christians. I know many a Christian that takes very, very little to keep them from the house of God. If it's raining, they can't go. If it's too hot, they can't go. If they're too busy, they can't go. If the family's sick, they can't go. If the family's well, they can't go. If they have visitors, they can't go. That's always one that takes me to the fair, by the way. Could you imagine the preacher not turning up and saying, oh, well, we had visitors drop by, so we just didn't go to church. What do you do when a visitor drops by? You bring him to church with you. That's the thing to do. And I think that if every Christian said about this, as David, saying, I desire to be in the house of God. That's the thing I really want. I want to be in the place where there's worship and praise and fellowship around the word of the Lord. I tell you, we'd be a whole lot better off. But so many Christians, and they're so easily kept back from God's house, especially when it comes to prayer meeting time, The midweek prayer meeting is now, in most churches, a most neglected meeting. I've talked to preachers, and brokenheartedly they've said, I cannot get my people to come out to the midweek prayer meeting. They just will not come. I tell you, that's a backslidden church. I wonder indeed if the people are genuinely saved if they won't come out to the midweek prayer meeting. Then, of course, we have reached the stage where we have SMO Christians in most churches, Sunday morning only. And in fact, they're Sunday morning only to such an extent that many, many churches have even given up the effort to have a Sunday evening service. You may remember that Sunday evening services were inaugurated as an evangelistic outreach, as a thrust from the church to go out and compel the people to come in, bring them under the sound of the gospel, and seek to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many Christians won't come out on a Sunday evening. What keeps them? I have heard Christians say, well, we want quality time with our family. What better quality time could you have than to be in the house of God? I think it's almost a blasphemy to say I stay away from the house of God to have quality time with my children. You could send your children to a lost eternity with the kind of quality time that you spend in front of the television watching a ball game, desecrating the Sabbath day, and forgetting about the Lord, when you would be a whole lot better off in God's house. Now, that wasn't really what I set out to say today, but it does bear saying. David said, of all the things I miss, it's being able to go to the house of God. And let me just tell you something before I leave off this little bypath that I've gone along today. Let me tell you something else. There comes a time in the life of most Christians when you can't get out to the house of God. There comes a time when age or decrepitude take over. You can't get to God's house. And I tell you, when that happens, you would love to go. And you'd say, oh, I would give anything to be able to go. I'll say, my friend, that it's a great comfort when you can't be in God's house to be able to tell the Lord, Lord, you know my heart, I wish I were there. But when you gave me the health and strength to be there, by the grace of God, I was there. I love the place wherein thine honor dwells. I love the meeting place of God with his people. I desire to dwell in God's house. David, above all the things that he missed going to God's house. So he had one overwhelming spiritual passion. Now, let me go a step further today and say that this great desire will be expressed in prayer and in practice. The yearning of the Christian after his God will drive him to his knees. Notice carefully, one thing have I desired of the Lord. This passion drove David to pray. Now let's get this very clearly into our minds. Christianity, for too many people, has become all mouth, all profession, all words, as if God is deceived or taken in by vain hot air. Many Christians will say, oh, they desire godliness, they desire spiritual power, they desire to have revival, they desire to see a moving of God, they desire to have real fellowship with God. They say they desire it, but do they pray? Do they spend time in prayer? I've already mentioned that in most churches the prayer meeting's defunct. It's a dead thing. Those churches that do have what they call a prayer meeting, and I'm speaking generally here, I thank God for every exception to this. But in all too many cases, what passes for a prayer meeting would, in former generations, have been looked on as a cold and lifeless thing. The church prayer meeting has died. And that tells you that the people are not exercising genuine spiritual spiritual seeking after God in the secret place. For I'm willing to go out on a limb and say, in my experience, and I've been preaching for almost 50 years now, and have been active in God's work for a whole lot longer than that, I tell you this, in my experience, the people who are most diligent about the private place of prayer are the people who are most diligent about the public place of prayer. They are seeking God. My friend, it's not enough to say, oh, I desire, I wish I could have close fellowship with God. I wish that I had spiritual power. I wish that this and that and the other thing that sounds so spiritual and so pious were true. Oh, my friend, that's not enough. But get on your knees and tell it to the Lord. David said, I desired it of the Lord. I wasn't just talking about it. I was desiring it of the Lord. I was before God and I was making this a matter of prayer. You see, this drove him to action. This text is not mere wishing. No, it was seeking. This I will seek after. Now, if true desire leads to prayer, notice this, that true prayer leads to action. David was saying, I will actively pursue this goal. I will allow no hindrance to stand in my way to attain this goal. I have something in my heart that I must have. I have a spiritual hunger and thirsting after the Lord. I have something in my soul that must be satisfied, and it doesn't matter what it costs, it doesn't matter where it leads me, it doesn't matter who likes it or who doesn't like it. I must have this from God, so that whatever its cost, I am seeking after this one thing. Now, the kind of Christianity I'm talking about is a wholehearted Christianity. The kind of Christianity I'm talking about is a Christianity that is in vital touch with Jesus Christ, where the heart is involved. Now, let me make this clear to you. I despise that kind of preaching that appeals only to the emotions, that manipulates people's emotions. I despise that kind of public rally so beloved of certain charismatic leaders that plays almost hypnotically with repetitious music and little gimmicks and psychological tricks upon the emotions of men and women. That's not godly, it's not good, it's not spiritually productive, it's a fire of man's making, and it will burn and consume those people and leave nothing but ashes. But I equally despise that kind of religion that's all head. Now, I am what the world calls a Calvinist. I believe in the doctrines of grace. But there are so many people who call themselves by that name, and theirs is a religion that's all head and no heart. There's no emotion. They speak of emotion as pietism, and it's as if that were a dirty word. But let me tell you, my friend, where you have great truth that is apprehended by faith, it will produce deep emotion. And it is the marriage of truth and heart, head and heart. It is the marriage of truth with genuine spiritual emotion that I am pleading for. A wholehearted religion of commitment to Jesus Christ, whereby knowing his love for us, we love him and we desire him, and we're not ashamed to desire him and to pour out our hearts before God in an earnest yearning. Oh God, let me know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Let me be made conformable unto his death. This is my great and earnest yearning, and this I will seek after with all my heart, with all my energy, and by God's grace, I will allow nothing and no one to stand in the way. It is Christ first and last and everything in between to a wholehearted Christian. Is this your testimony? Is this the religion that you know? Oh, may God make it so. May you yearn after him with all your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.